You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. And on the phone with me is Leatrice Eisman. She is the co-author with E.P. Cutler of Pantone on Fashion, A Century of Color in Design. This is a fascinating look at the history of color through fashion designers and really lays out some thoughtful, prose as well as some beautiful, beautiful pictures. And Leatrice Eisman, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I am married to an artist, so I know all about color values and the like, but I know there are many in the universe who aren't aware of the many shades that we enjoy each and every day and how Pantone helps us out. Please, to begin with, explain what is Pantone.
It's a company that has created a worldwide color standard, meaning that if you were to talk to someone on the phone 3,000 miles away from you, you would want to convey a particular color, you would have a standard that you could use. And if they had a Pantone book in front of them and you have one in front of you, you could give them a name or a number, and they can see exactly what color you're talking about. So it has created this Bible of color, if you will, that designers and manufacturers and anyone that really needs to know color well uses all around the world.
And what is that secret number code there? Is that just a catalog number? It's usually a two-digit with a dash and then a four-digit code. I mean, is that some kind of secret language?
No, it's just a means of identifying the color. So that, again, you can convey the number and the name in the system that we use in the book. The system in the book is for fashion and home. So that system has more than 2,000 colors in it. And, of course, I don't have to remember each and every one of those names, but it helps to remember quite a few. But, again, I've got my trusty fan guide of color in front of me should I forget exactly what a color looks like. And that's what the ID is all about. We use the names in this system because names are very evocative and conjure up a picture of what the color is before you even see it and give some meaning to the color. So that, and it also is a lot of fun.
Color perception, though, is varied. I love in the introduction how you point out that not everybody, well, we think we see the same thing, but it's hard to tell whether we are seeing the same color, yellow or blue.
Well, that's true, and we know that there are differences in what people can perceive of when they look at a color, whether it be physiological or psychological. But for the most part, unless you're colorblind, most people will see within the same range of color close enough so that when you are conversing about a color and if you have a standard in front of you, you can understand what color you're talking about.
Why did you feel it was important to put this Pantone on Fashion book together with E.P. Cutler? You had done Pantone through the 20th century, looking at color trends during the 20th century. But it seems when you open up that, if you may, can of worms when it comes to fashion, that you have a large latitude to both be right and be wrong at the same time.
Well, we don't really regard it as being right or wrong. You know, fashion has come to the point where we understand that it's a matter of personal consideration. That is, I may love a particular shade of periwinkle blue. You look at it and say, oh, it's not my favorite color. I'm not crazy about it. So there's always that, you know, underlying feeling of how I relate to a color, what it means to me. But from a standpoint of what color means on a more universal level, we have done color word association studies for a number of years, and it's always amazing to me how very similarly people will respond to some colors, yet again, they might have a very personal reaction to it. But we can still create a language around a particular shading of a color. And it will vary within a color family because we know that there's no one definitive yellow. There are many shades of yellow, and each one may have a slightly different meaning.
I'm speaking with Leatrice Eisman, who co-authored Pantone on Fashion, A Century of Color in Design, with fashion journalist E.P. Cutler. It's available where books are sold and in libraries, and you can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. And Leatrice, I wanted to talk about words because you point out that despite our love of colors, we don't have that many words in our language to really describe them well. But you do a fantastic job throughout Pantone on fashion and bringing out those subtleties between the yellows, say.
Yes, we do, and it, you know, it really takes a lot of homework to find a name that really is appropriate. And of course, when you've named 2,000 colors already, and you have to then search for yet another shade of a color, that becomes a bit of a challenge. But it is very thought provoking, and in the end, it really is a lot of fun. It can get frustrating, but to find just exactly the right name to describe a color. But there are many aspects of naming a color that come from different sources of inspiration. I mean, it could be beautiful gemstones. Flowers obviously render a lot of names. It also could be those things that appear in nature that we see around us, maybe the color of a rock or a stone or something else that we're all very familiar with. It could be a color that's related to a certain culture that we, you know, we can imagine in our mind's eye. If I say Samoan orange, immediately your mind goes to a brightly colored ball in the sky that would be very vivid. We may not have been to Samoa. We can easily, tap it in on and Google it and look at some images. But at the same time, we can evoke a feeling of what that color is by the name that we assign to it.
Well, wonderful language you use. I especially wanted to, a fine example I found was for golden cream, where you say if bright yellow got a tan, it would become the color of golden cream. And I thought that was just perfect, Leatrice.
Yes. That's the fun of it, to be able to evoke those kinds of responses to color and to come up with the color name in the first place.
Well, your collaboration with fashion journalist E.P. Cutler, I imagine some intense conversations as you were picking out colors and picking out the fashions. What was that like, collaborating?
Well, a collaboration is really a fun thing because you come up, when I say you, I would come up with a concept of what I felt what color should be included in the book. Because EP is the historian and I'm the one that works on a day-to-day basis with color. And so what I did was to go back through the archives of the fashion color reports that I have done for Pantone for a number of years, where we bring out the fashion colors twice a year, and we ask the designers to give us their reasonings for choosing the color and send us illustrations. And from that, we glean the 10 top colors for a season. And so when I went back to mine that resource and then further back historically, I came up with the number of colors that we use in the book. There's approximately 50 colors in different color families that we identified as some of the most important colors that have appeared and reappeared in fashion. And then EP would do some further digging into the history, and we collaborated on what our thoughts and feelings were, and out of that came the book.
Lovely survey of both fashion through the years and those predominant color trends. And we'll talk about the Pantone Color of the Year in a moment, since you included in the back of the book in Pantone on Fashion, A Century of Color and Design. But I wanted to ask about the history, because as you write, history, much like fashion, is enamored with the new and the outstanding, and this is the arc of history often found in this book. And you take a color and you trace it, say, poison green, from its use as an accent color on a Chanel bracelet in 1960 to being center stage in a Gucci dress with matching overcoat 5 decades later. And it's like everything old is new again, and these colors are very persistent, I noticed in many instances in this book.
Yes, they are. And that was one of our intentions, too, in the book, to show how a color that we think of as very au courant really started a long time ago. And, you know, with any trend, trends ebb and flow. They are here, then they're gone. But we have found with color in fashion, they may take a rest for a while, but ultimately they will come back again. And if they're perceived of as being fresh and new and different, even though they've been around before, There's a certain element of the population who weren't alive then or were very young and don't remember it. So you revitalize it, you put it back out in the marketplace, and it is perceived of as something that people gravitate to or want to gravitate to because it seems new and fresh and different. But it really started out a long time before it is currently in the marketplace.
Well, I know it's probably my personal bias, but I really love the reds, the crimson, the poppy red, the ruby wine. And it seems when I've, we were sharing before we went on the air, I was telling you how many people have been coveting Pantone on fashion as it's been on my desk. And I love looking at the pictures and the colors, but they seem to be drawn to the reds. Is that just something natural for us, something in our psychological or emotional makeup as human beings?
Absolutely. Red is invariably, in many cultures, the instant attention getter. And a lot of that, if we look at the psychology slash physiological aspect of the color, is that it's always been a warning color. I mean, you can imagine even in the earliest days, if there was bloodshed, fire, you know, any of those things that meant danger, pay attention to me, often the color red was involved. So it's something that is so deeply ingrained in our psyches that we don't even have to think about it. We know that if something red enters our field of vision, we're going to pay attention whether we want to or not.
I noticed in the Pantone Color of the Year, in the back of the book where you trace that arc that you've we're talking about in Pantone on Fashion, how the reds were predominant, but it's funny how the reds pop up and then the ebb and flow of things, it goes back to being blue or aquamarine or aqua sky. It's fun to kind of see through that Pantone Color of the Year exhibit you have in the book how the taste moderates.
It can, and it really does. The color of the year can represent, if you will, the zeitgeist of what is going on in the world around us at a given time. We feel that it's not only important to show a color that is on the ascendancy, as we call it. We travel around the world. We look for clues as to what color we feel is going to be that important in any given time. But at the same time, we look at the socioeconomic evidence that's out there about why people would be drawn to a color. And for this year, we felt that Radiant Orchid really was very symbolic of what we're seeing in the fashion picture. And that's all about ingenuity, being a little bit different, not following all the old rules as far as fashion is concerned. Putting colors together and using design in a way that we haven't done before. So it's a year of innovation, and certainly the purple family represents that. Purple is the color of creativity and innovation, and that's why we chose the purple as the color of the year for this year.
Well, Leatrice, in Pantone on Fashion, it seems to be both a picture book, a little bit of history thrown in. It can be an idea starter, if you may. Who did you write Pantone on Fashion for, and what do you hope that they get out of the book?
Well, you know, if you're a color lover, you know that you are in a group of people that feels as passionate as you do about color. So we knew that professionals would be drawn to this. Anybody who works with color is going to be drawn to it because it can be a source of inspiration. But at the same time, there are those people out there that will go into a bookstore and look around at color, you know, look at the color spines on the books, look at the colorful drawings, and there is something that's going to draw them in. To me, it's so interesting because this is not just a book for fashionistas. This is a book that really has a lot of information on color. And, you know, color is just a constant source of fascination for people all over the world. So we were hoping with this book we would reach a large population, and I think we are.
Indeed, and I think you sum it up nicely. I remember a line, this book is for the fashion-obsessed, the design-loving, the color-hungry. It's for historians and sociologists, students, and people who never want to stop learning. And I think that sums it up nicely, Leatrice.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for the wonderful adventure in color.
My pleasure.
Leatrice Eisenman, who with E.P. Cutler is the author of Pantone on Fashion, A Century of Color in Design. You can learn more about the book and the work at Pantone on our website, wvxu.org. The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Brazell. You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. Rick Andres is music director and segment engineer. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. The club's web guru is Jim Nolan. And I'm Mark Purcell. While I usually ask one of my colleagues to share what they're reading, they said it was my turn. So I'm reading The Bookman's Tale by Charlie Lovett, a wonderful mix of love story and mystery surrounding Shakespeare, old manuscripts and books, and a watercolor paintings of all things. Just about to the end, and I've been loving it. The Bookman's Tale by Charlie Lovett. On next Saturday's show, a conversation with the History of Us author Leah Stewart. She's been awarded the Sachs Fund Prize, and we'll be here to talk about that honor. Plus, everything I need to know about Christmas I learned from a little golden book. Hope you'll be here next Saturday morning for the Book Club at 91.7. Weekend edition on the way next on 91.7 WVXU. Have a great Saturday.